J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
This roast was happening not even 3 weeks after September 11th, so there was a big discussion about what was right in terms of taste.
There hadn't been any comedy in New York. It was very fresh. We were faced with like having to like put up a show, put on tuxedos, get Hugh Hefner and his pussy posse on a plane. It wasn't an easy sell, but we got him to do it. To his credit, we made a building. Like,
that was when the crowd turned. They started booing him. There was a guy in the audience shouting, "Too soon, too soon." The crowd was murmuring, and he said,
"Okay, a man, a talent agent is sitting in his office. A family walks in, man, woman, their two kids, and their little dog. Their talent agent goes, 'What kind of an act do you do?'"
It was like he had made this conscious decision, okay, I can't push the envelope of taste in terms of what happened in September, so I'm going to push it in a completely different direction.
It was arguably the dirtiest roast the Friars had ever done.
The father starts fucking his wife. The wife starts jerking off the son. The son starts going down on the sister. The sister starts fingering the dog's asshole.
He just grabbed him by the throat. He just attacked.
Then the son starts blowing his father. You want me to start at the beginning? If you missed any portion, I'll repeat it.
There was this weird buzz that came. And you could see the guys up on the dais were looking at each other, and they had this look of familiarity in their eyes. They were all sort of saying, where is he going to take this thing?
Then the daughter starts licking out the father's asshole. Then the father shits on the floor. The mother shits on the floor. The dog pisses and shits on the floor. They all jump down into the shit and piss and come. And they start fucking and sucking each other. And then they take a bow. And the talent agent says, "I'll wait till you're ready."
I am sitting at a table of all comics. We're on the floor.
They might have to clean this up for TV.
I was laughing because he just was going so big with it, which I can't imagine Gilbert Gottfried doing.
It was probably one of the best single tellings of a joke I've ever heard.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, "I've heard it all before"? It's like deja vu all over.
Wednesday, April 13th, 2022, 218 days remaining in our American democratic system of government, as we have known it. How you doing, kids? It's JC, and what a day it's going to be. Understanding that when you are doing a podcast, it's possible that people aren't listening to it until midnight the next day or on the weekend or something like that. But as we sit here at 7 a.m. Central Time on Wednesday, the 13th of April, man, oh, man. All I can tell you is this is not a good sign when there's going to be a weather event on a Wednesday in your community and the weather guys start talking about it on the previous Thursday, which is what happened in this particular case. I mean, all kidding aside, this is not to be messed with today. And I'll tell you something else. The further south and east you go of St. Louis, it's going to even be worse. So when you get into over the areas of Metro East, you know, down around Chester and places like that, and even as the river starts to, you know, swing to the east a little bit, when you get south of St. Louis, you know, down around Perryville and Peavely and places like that, those are places that are pretty much in the bullseye. We're just about 30 miles off the center, the target area of this whole thing today. And again, looking at the hour by hour right now, they put the chance of rain and storms at 10 o'clock in the morning at about 40%. It goes to 60% at 11 o'clock in the morning. And by the time we're at noon, it's 90%. Cardinals are not going to play their game today. It's just not going to happen. I'm surprised that they haven't canceled the game already. And
you know, what you have to do when you're, there's like 3,000 people who work the stadium every day. Every time there's a game, there's almost 3,000 people working down there. So all of those people have to be alerted to it. Now, most of those people work full time and they're going to go to work anyhow today, but a lot of the vendors and the field guys and stuff like that who only work on game days, there's something like 1,000 of those people alone. And as a courtesy, you know, the Cardinals try to do everything to accommodate them too. So I checked in with Dave Murray late last night. This is around midnight. Prime time for this thing, according to Dave, he originally said about, you know, 2 to 3 in the afternoon. That's sort of like the bullseye of this whole thing. But anytime from about noon until 6. And then this thing's going to move out of here and we'll see what's left. You know, if your trash can ends up in Iowa, severe weather outbreak, more widespread than our typical scattered storm pattern, severe storms, tornadoes, possible strong, long track tornadoes. Those are the scary ones. Those ones that could be on the ground for a couple of hundred miles. Heavy rain, severe lightning, high winds over 70 miles an hour. And I saw a picture. Actually, I put it up on my Facebook page, the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Somebody took a bunch of pool floats and strapped them to their car to prevent the car from being damaged by hail. It's a nice start. I mean, I think if, you know, you get a hailstorm the size of a golf ball, enough of those things hitting those pool floats, you're going to hear a lot of loud pops and a lot of air coming out, but at least it's a start. What's funny about the picture, by the way, is it's the car is sitting in front of the garage. Everybody was like, see, if you didn't have so much shit in your garage, you could put the car in there, and then you have to worry about putting pool floats around your car. So anyhow, noon to 6, and especially with an emphasis at about 2 o'clock this afternoon, then there's going to be like a 20 to 30 degree temperature drop. So it just keeps getting better and better, doesn't it? And it's too bad they can't call up former Channel 5 meteorologist Chester Lampkin, because teacher says every time a bell rings, Chester says the wind is going to blow.
And now, ferocious lightning and 60-mile-an-hour winds with KSDK meteorologist Chester Lampkin.
All right, we're in storm alert. I've been watching this hefty storm move into Metro St. Louis here, and it is putting down ferocious lightning, 60-mile-per-hour winds, ferocious lightning, 60-mile-per-hour wind gusts, possibly up to 60-mile-per-hour wind gusts, 60-mile-per-hour winds with 60-mile-per-hour winds. 60-mile-per-hour winds being reported. It is ferocious, ladies and gentlemen. Up to 60-mile-per-hour wind gusts, and this is ferocious. I haven't seen lightning like this. The possibility of 60-mile-per-hour wind gusts. The lightning is coming down at a ferocious pace. Tons of lightning and the possibility of 60-mile-per-hour winds. But 60-mile-per-hour winds and the 60-mile-per-hour wind gusts. The storm has 60-mile-per-hour winds, and we are still in storm alert here. But up to 60-mile-per-hour winds. Tons of lightning, ferocious lightning. Possibility of 60-mile-per-hour winds, putting down ferocious lightning. The possibility of 60-mile-per-hour winds. Let me get out the way and show you which areas.
Let me get out the way. Ah, Chester, you crack me up. You crack me up. None of those were repeated, by the way, and that was over, I think it was a 14-minute period. He was really locked onto those 60-mile-an-hour winds and the ferocious lightning. All right. Albert Pujols hasn't hit a home run as a Cardinal in 3,855 days, but he launched one yesterday. Back-to-back home runs, by the way, for the Cardinals, and they win again. Keep bringing in those left-handed pitchers, that's all I can say. And now it's going to be off to Milwaukee, and they play in a domed stadium with a retractable roof. And I've got news for you. The roof is going to be closed because, like I said, the temperature is going to really dip, even in St. Louis. And if it's going to be that cold here, you can imagine how brisk it will be in Milwaukee. So at least you know those games are going to get played. Fair St. Louis is moving to Keener Plaza in Ballpark Village. They won't tell us what any of the acts are so far, but what fun is Fair St. Louis if you don't have a giant thunderstorm move in and the arch getting hit by lightning? I mean, come on. Why is Laura Hediger waving her arms in the air?
$100, talk about out of steel. Once activated, you will be able to swipe your hand over a card reader similar to a credit card, and you can make purchases all over the world. Right now, the chips are only being sold in Europe. And Claire, as I was reading that, I noticed you were looking down at your hand.
How would this thing work?
Why are they laughing? Why is that funny?
How is this going to happen? How much more money would this cost you? One, if it accidentally swipes and you have no idea, or two, if you're just like, oh, it's so easy.
Foreign object there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 0 for 3. Hard passes on this one. Yeah.
No, and no.
Keep the wallet.
You
can.
That wallet.
All right, coming up.
Oh, look at that. And she held up her wallet. She held up her wallet to make sure that we understood the story, what a wallet was. Very helpful to the story. Thank you. Because we're all in kindergarten, remember? If you are looking for Anderson Cooper on CNN, he's out with COVID. If you are looking for Anna and Nancy Wilson to perform again, which they haven't really been doing much of lately, we got them in a concert that Sheryl Crow opened for a couple of years ago out at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater, but they cannot agree on the direction for Heart at the moment. So Nancy's doing her own thing, Anna's doing her own thing. They're not really performing together, but they are at least getting along again, which is good to hear. Sean Penn says he messed up his last marriage because of booze, Ambien, and his obsession with the news. Today on Netflix, first of a five-part series narrated by former President Barack Obama on our great national parks. That is on Netflix. Late night tonight, Bill Maher pops up with Jimmy Kimmel, Claire Foy on with Stephen Colbert. Everybody else is on break. I've had a couple of surgeries in the last, well, really in about the last 18 months. And if you've never been operated on, if that's never happened to you, you don't know what it's like. You don't know how unusual the feeling is. It's like an out-of-body experience, especially the closer and closer you get to the actual surgery. So you're in your hospital room and they're prepping you and everything like that. But then when they actually get to wheeling you into the operating room, that's when the whole feeling becomes very surreal. You're laying on that gurney and people are asking you lots of questions. Hospital I was at was particularly nice because you had these older women and they would hold your hand as they were talking to you. You can't imagine what that feeling is like to have, you know, a nurse, a surgical technician, who I don't even know who all these people are. You've got, I don't know the difference between an anesthetist and an anesthesiologist. I know there's a difference, but I don't know what it is. But you have all these people in there, but just to have you, because you're cold too. These operating rooms, for whatever reason, are cold. And a lot of times they have a little oven, then they put the blanket in there, and then they put a hot blanket on you. And boy, does that feel nice. But just to have these older ladies hold your hand while they're talking to you, asking questions and prepping you for the whole thing makes all the difference in the world. Doesn't seem like it would be a big deal, but trust me, it is. And the other thing you notice is when they actually wheel you into the operating room, there's always music playing. Sometimes they will even ask you if you have a favorite kind of music that you would like to have played. I know they do that with MRIs. I've had so many MRIs, it's not even funny anymore. And they ask you what kind of music you want to hear because you're going to be laying in this thing for 25 minutes. And anything you can do to sort of soothe the situation is going to help a little bit, especially as the claustrophobia can set in. Well, it turns out now research in Germany has found that playing popular rock music during surgery can improve the doctor's performance. It's thought that the rhythm helps promote a faster speed and enhances the overall performance. Hey, one thing I'm not looking for when somebody is fooling around with my left ventricle is speed. Take your time. I've talked about this before. The woman that Phil Spector shot, which is why they sent him away without his freaky wig. The woman that he shot was an actress by the name of Lana Clarkson. Now, Lana Clarkson, you know, you just don't realize that you know her. In one of the final scenes in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, when that freaky biology teacher, he shows up at the prom and he's got this absolutely atomic blonde with him. That's her. That's Lana Clarkson. Phil Spector was convicted of second-degree murder on the state in 2009. 38 years ago today, 1984, Pete Rose smacked hit number 4,000. The only player with more hits, Ty Cobb. David Crosby arrested for the second time in 3 weeks. Back on the state in 1982, cops found him in his dressing room with Bolivian marching powder. And amen, 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 amen. One of my favorite all-time movies, the 1964 Sidney Poitier movie, Lilies of the Field. First black man to receive an Oscar 58 years ago. Birthdays today, Allison Williams from Girls, and also the daughter of Brian Williams, 34. Ricky Schroeder, Nuts, 52. Max Weinberg, cool guy, 71. The Reverend Al Green, 76 today. Tony Dow, Wally on Leave It to Beaver, 77. Actor Paul Sorvino, Mira's dad, and Paulie in Goodfellas. Paul Sorvino, 83 today. Good actor. Most people, I would imagine, listening to the podcast have been married for quite some time, perhaps divorced, perhaps widowed, we don't really know. But some advice that you can give to your kids, to your nieces and nephews, you cannot believe how important this next story is because I am living proof of that. When you go on vacation with somebody, you're thinking to yourself, I don't know, this one could be the one. It could be the one. We're going to take a vacation together. This is a big step for us. The compatibility factor is an issue here. Let's see how we do as a couple on vacation for the first time. Because there can be two extremes in this whole thing. The one, which I experienced in my first marriage, is you get to the vacation destination and you are awakened the very first morning. It's like 5 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing up? Oh, we have to go to the tram because the tram takes us to the bus. The bus takes us to the little train, and then that takes us to the boat. And if you don't get there as one of the first groups, then you can't really get a good seat on the boat. And so we got to leave right now. And you're thinking to yourself, Jesus Christ, it's 5 o'clock in the morning, day one of our vacation. When did you plan all of this stuff? I want to sleep. Oh, no, 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 you can't do that. And then at lunchtime, we have to get on another boat because that's going to take us to the island. But then you got to be on the first boat because the second boat, the lunch is not as good because I read that on the internet. So you got to be in the first group, always be in the first group. And then that takes us to the boat later. And then the sailboat picks us up. And you're like, my first day of my vacation, I'm already exhausted. And then there's people like me. You give me a beach, make sure it's a beach at a resort that doesn't have one of those screaming assholes. And now we're going to do the sexy legs contest. Now we're going to do the belly flop contest. Now we're going to do the hairy back contest. And this asshole is screaming at 70 million watts. You can't even hear the fucking ocean. You can't even hear the surf because this guy's screaming the entire time. Give me a beach, nice sand, beautiful water to look at. Maybe a pair of wireless headphones, maybe a book, maybe nothing. Maybe I just want to lay there and drink. That, my friends, is a vacation. A lot of couples who met during the pandemic are going on their first vacation together this year. And a new poll found there's a good chance it's going to be their last one. 44% of people have realized they were not compatible with somebody during a trip. And 47% have discovered a quirk that was a deal breaker. A few that people mentioned were being too much of a morning person, making them sit in the middle seat on a flight and demanding to sleep on a certain side of the bed. A few more annoying things we've noticed on trips include loud chewing, weird packing habits, and not being punctual enough for things like flights. Also, you might want to opt for refundable plane tickets. 25% of people say they've broken up with somebody before the trip even takes place. I came up from the beach once, and the girl I was with on the trip was upstairs ahead of me, and she had already showered and everything like that, and used every single towel in the bathroom. Every single one. I come upstairs to take a shower. I come up from the beach. There's not one towel left in the whole room. That was the end of that. Speaking of people not getting along, a divorce lawyer on TikTok is catching heat after claiming women should avoid marrying men with these five jobs because they tend to be the messiest to divorce: pilots, surgeons, firemen, cops, and members of the military. Then she doubled down and said the messiest women to divorce are stay-at-home moms. You have to wonder how long this Wordle thing is going to last. Apparently a while, though, because a new survey says 16% of Wordle players are doing it on the toilet. And one more offshoot from the pandemic. The CDC says STD rates have skyrocketed during the pandemic, which is the opposite of what you'd think. They dipped early on, then they rebounded to all-time highs by late 2020. They think it's because people were less likely to see a doctor or couldn't get appointments, so their STDs went untreated and then spread. Gonorrhea cases up 10% from 2019. Syphilis cases rose 7%. Cases of chlamydia actually dropped 13%. And they think it's because they were just underreported. So how did STD rates rise while everybody was stuck at home? Well, a lot of people didn't stay home or were out there hooking up. 57-year-old guy in Florida facing charges for pretending to be a DEA agent to get a law enforcement discount at Wendy's. A family in Canada ordered Domino's pizza last Tuesday, and the delivery driver stole their cat. He said he thought it was a stray and abandoned it down the road. The cat is back home. Police are investigating. You order from Domino's, you pretty much deserve anything that happens to you. In celebration of its 60th anniversary, the Seattle Space Needle is repainting the sloped roof of the tower's original color. And there's a contest where five lucky, and this is in quotes, lucky grand prize winners get the chance to help paint the roof. That's what I want to do. I want to go up like 40 stories on a sloped roof in the wind and all of the elements in Seattle, where it's always raining, so it's slippery up there anyhow. And we get up there and help them paint their goddamn roof. 35-year-old babysitter in Florida arrested after allegedly putting a 4-year-old boy in a dryer, closing the door, and spinning him around. How did she think that story was going to end? And back to legendary comedian Gilbert Gottfried, who died yesterday after a battle with a disease called type 2 myotonic dystrophy. It's a form of muscular dystrophy. He was only 67 years old. The last time I saw him was on the internet. One of those, what is that service called where you can petition a celebrity to do like a birthday greeting for you, pay like $500, and the guy will or the woman will make a personalized message for you. And I saw him on that last week, as a matter of fact. I remember thinking to myself, geez, he looks frail. I didn't know he was sick. Gilbert, probably best known as the voice of the parrot in Aladdin from 1992. He was the voice of the duck in the Aflac commercials, but he lost that gig after making jokes about the earthquake and tsunami in Japan. It was 2011, but those Comedy Central roasts, along with Bob, I put a picture of Bob Saget, Louis Anderson, and Gilbert Gottfried up yesterday. All three guys, roughly the same age, all dying within a couple of months of one another. It's just unbelievable. Joan Rivers, David Hasselhoff, Donald Trump, Roseanne, all of those roasts he was a part of. He was in Problem Child, Beverly Hills Cop 2, The Adventures of Ford Fairlane. Let me tell you a quick story about Gilbert. So, you know, I used to go on these movie junkets where they would show you the movie on a Friday night out in Los Angeles or sometimes in New York. And then you get up the next day, bright and early, put your suit on, and there'd be a round robin thing where you would go from room to room to room and interview for television all of the stars of the movie. So I end up with Gilbert Gottfried as the very first interview on Saturday morning. And there he is sitting there. And so I talked to him for 10 minutes. He's screaming. he just, for emphasis, as you will hear in a moment, for emphasis, he just would, I'm going to scream. So he finished the interview and I'm standing out in the hallway. Gilbert comes up to me. He goes, hey, do you know how I can get a cab? And I looked at him and I'm like, for who? He goes, for me. I'm done. I've got to go home. I go, Gilbert, you're going to be here until like 5 o'clock this afternoon. You're going to do like 40 interviews today. That one you did with me just now, that was just your first. He didn't even realize what he was doing that day. But there's been a tremendous outpouring from the comedy community, Jon Stewart, Conan O'Brien, Al Franken, lots of people checking in and paying homage to the memory of Gilbert Gottfried. Close and I were in New York. And I believe this was 99. That sounds about right. Maybe 98, but somewhere in there. And we're doing Grammy Week. They invite radio stations from all over the country. You sit there, and then they bring stars, and they hop from table to table to table. And it was our turn with Gilbert Gottfried. This interview never aired. I may have played it on the internet, one of our various reincarnations of some sort of podcast over the years. This is like, I think this is the third or fourth time we've tried to do the podcast. This one is going really well. By the way, our opening day show last Thursday broke a record. We did four times the normal audience for the podcast. It's unbelievable. Thank you very much for spreading the word and remembering to tell friends about the baseball podcast. Like I said, I looked at the diagnostics the other day. I was like, holy shit, look at this. That's a brand new record for us. But anyhow, this never went out over the air for reasons that would seem obvious here in a moment. This is Mark Close. This is me. We're sitting in the, it might have been the Hard Rock Cafe in Manhattan, and they bring in Gilbert. This is not for the squeamish. So let's go back about 20 years.
And it is the man, Gilbert Gottfried. I got my hand on the volume control.
Absolutely.
Because I know when you bring Gilbert.
I'm the man.
Yeah.
I'm the man.
He starts screaming.
I'm the man.
How you been?
Oh, well, I'm the man.
Yes. You make it here for every Grammy Award show. I think this is like the fourth or fifth time that we've had you
and
on.
And they've snubbed me each time.
Yeah. Haven't won yet, have you?
Yes.
Have you ever submitted anything? Did you ever record anything that got submitted for consideration?
Yes. Yes, I done my Jew of Country Music album. They keep turning that one down.
Well, they don't really turn it down, yes. Gilbert. It's just that they don't vote for it.
I don't think they have a category for that, do
they? It's amazing. You think after all these years,
they make
would.
A category.
They
even if it was one entry, just yours.
One. Just one, for God's sakes.
So now tell me, how will your life be affected by the fact that Jerry Seinfeld is calling it quits this May? Because that's actually part of your repertoire. People who don't know you know that Jerry actually works into your act.
Yeah, I know. This is very upsetting. First of all, he has to give up, how's this guy going to make a living? How is this guy going to do it? It's bad enough they expected him to live on $5 million an episode, but now without it,
he's got
no money.
What's happening to comedy? What's happening to comedy? $5 million? That's not what it's all about. That's not what it's supposed to be about. Joe Piscopo going out there and, bulking himself up so that, and there's a name from the current comedy scene.
Oh, yeah.
Comedy is spinning out of control.
Yes, it's Joe Piscopo.
Yes. Monetarily.
Joe Piscopo is a whole other show.
Yeah. He'll be coming in about 5 minutes. After you, actually.
Yes.
So
the money is out of control. The man's bodies are out of control. Anyhow, Jerry Seinfeld. We're no longer talking to Gilbert. We're now talking to Jerry Seinfeld. Jerry, how could you turn down $10 million an episode?
Well, it gets very expensive to pick up girls in their schoolyards. You'd be surprised. To get them the coloring books? That costs a lot more than $5 million.
How long have you been doing USA Up All Night now? How many years is it?
I just stopped.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No.
You know, you've hit rock bottom when the USA Network doesn't watch anymore. That's bottom of the barrel.
They got rid of the whole show or just you?
I think they're clearing out USA. Yes.
Is it going out of business
sale?
Yes,
yes.
Everything must go.
Maybe they'll have Murder, She Wrote 12 times a day still, but...
Maybe you could get yourself on the Lifetime channel or something like that.
Yeah.
That appeals
to
women.
My fingers are crossed.
You're kind of a chick magnet. You could get onto Lifetime.
I'm a chick magnet.
Yeah. Home Shopping Network, one of those. You could slide into a gig.
Yeah, I could slide in.
Yes.
I could slide into, because I'm a chick magnet. No. I could just slide in.
Now, let me ask you. The original Aladdin movie, you supplied the voice of
The princess.
Of the
Yeah,
but it never made
thing.
It. They cut that too.
They thought too Jewish.
You supplied the voice of the little parrot, the little guy. What's his name?
Iago.
Iago. Okay. Yeah. Now, in the subsequent releases, they have cartoons and all that kind of stuff. Is that still you doing
the
voice?
Still me.
Still me. Because a lot of the original people who were in the original Aladdin didn't come back, and they have a guy who sounds like Robin Williams, but it's not him.
Yeah.
But you got the gig.
Yes.
And
now the voice of the princess, I think, is Frank Gorshin. Yeah.
which is even more obscure reference than just, Don't Piss the Bus.
We're hitting all of them today, folks. What else are you doing
and
these
David
days?
David Fry is Aladdin. And Fred Travellina is the monkey.
Yes. Remember that show, The Copycats?
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes.
They took all of the impressionists and comedians at that time. This was maybe, what, 69 or 70?
Yes.
And they said, wow, if people love impressionists, well, what if we put a whole hour of them together?
Yeah.
And it was the dullest thing.
Yes, and they had George Kirby was one of them.
George Kirby, who I'm trying to remember the stuff he did.
Okay, well, he was black, so he did all like the black women impressions. He would do like, they dress him up as Ella Fitzgerald and Pearl Bailey.
And now here's LaWanda Page.
Yes, exactly. And I think now, was the girl, was it Marilyn Michaels?
Yeah. Oh, yes,
yes,
yes.
Yes.
Do Barbara Streisand was one of the big ones.
Cross her eyes. And
That's
right. Yeah, for anybody over the age of 30 or 35.
Yeah, they have what the hell we're talking about.
The Copycats was a show that was on, and for some reason it just didn't. So what else are you up to
and
these
I
days?
And I think it was made in England.
Made
I have a feeling the show actually was done in England. Because when every now and then they'd use like an extra or something in a sketch.
It would be Benny Hill.
Yeah, yes. Or that bald-headed old guy.
Who used to pimp for Benny Hill.
Benny Hill.
Yes, who would run up and down with at the end.
We're having a mouth of war here.
Yes, that's a whole other story.
What else are you up to these days? All right, so now the USA, you didn't actually have to stay up all night to do USA Up All Night. Probably did that at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
No, as any woman can tell you, I can't stay up all night. It's just I can't stay up for more than 5 minutes.
Were you around, you must have been around doing that show with Rhonda Shearer when she was boinking and Larry King. What was that all about?
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, I can't say I blame her because, boy, when you look at Larry King, that is hot.
He is the man.
Yeah.
It just exudes.
Yeah, you just picture Larry King during sex. Going, just
naked, naked in those suspenders.
Yeah.
Is the vagina there?
Yeah. hello, Cleveland. You're on, Detroit.
You heard a guy's leaving their socks on. He left his suspenders on.
Yes.
It's all effect. What else are you up to these days?
Nothing. My career's through. Hopefully, I can do some extra work on Diagnosis Murder or something.
But at least once a year, you get the Grammy gig here. So at least something to look forward to.
Yeah, and people still want to hear from you, so you keep showing up. So why not?
Yeah, why not?
Did you ever nail that girl from Houston a couple of years ago? Remember you were trying to pick up the girl? It was the afternoon girl from Houston.
Oh, yes, I nailed her. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking
about. Anally.
She's the one with the kind of strawberry blonde hair.
Yes. Yeah, I nailed her anally.
Okay, kids, at this point, you might want to turn the radio off.
Kids driving to school with mom.
Oh, God. And those letters go to Gilbert Gottfried, wherever the hell he's living, in some trailer park somewhere. Just send them right to Gilbert direct.
All right, Gilbert. So will you be in the crowd at the Grammys tomorrow night?
Yes.
You will?
Yes, I'll be in the crowd. I'm going to be there as a speechwriter for Fiona Apple. Yes.
Fiona Apple. Yes. She needs some help.
Yes.
She needs a lot of help.
Gilbert, I don't. By the way, you know this Heidi Klum? This cover
yes.
The, she's going to be here.
Oh, I'd like to nail her anally.
You have so many different choices.
Boy,
but
I like to nail her.
Forget the basic cable thing, man. USA, that's all gone, man. Yeah. We might get you on Cinemax, but that's all you're going to get at this point.
I slid the copy of Sports Illustrated's swimsuit issue in front of Gilbert. That woman is going to be here.
Would I like to nail her anally.
maybe you'd like to kind of hang around and see how that line works in person.
I think she'd be turned on by it.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
well,
there's no doubt.
You just never know those supermodels.
Yeah.
Gilbert.
Yes.
Go away now.
Yeah, leave immediately.
Thank you very much for coming by. Great to see you again.
Okay.
That's Gilbert Gottfried.
And until next week, I nailed her anally.
Thank you. Look for her. He'll be doing a special with Marie Osmond. You can watch for it in your TV guide.
We have all heard the term before. But possibly Gilbert Gottfried, the personification of the phrase, they broke the mold after they made Gilbert. And with that, that's it for the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Wednesday. April 13th, 2022, 218 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. We're here every weekday morning at about 7 o'clock, absolutely free. We archive everything. You may email me at jc@jcontheline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. For those of you listening in the morning, please be careful. Have some sort of plan today. They're saying that anytime after about 12 noon, the fireworks are going to begin. And whatever you do to attempt to ward off bad stuff, whether it's praying, crossing your fingers, or just hiding your head in the sand, whatever it is, do it today because this is very, very serious stuff here. We'll talk to you in the morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.